journey. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is 27 January 2024, and we're going to be talking about the Texas border crisis, a thing called MEMS, or what is it, smart dust, some EVs and self-driving cars. So a lot of technology today. I am Jason Barker. My partner in crime here is Mr. Angus Mustang. What's going on, Angus?
Not too much, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. I heard you had a late night last night.
No, an early morning this morning. Five flights in 3 days is a bit much, but I made it home about 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. So.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're with us, and I'm sorry for such an early morning for you.
Sorry.
Anyway, we are broadcasting live on freeworld.fm. I think the timer started like 30 minutes ago, so I'll have to see if our time slot changed or not. And then we're also going out on Rumble, on X, formerly known as Twitter. And actually, I got us on Facebook now. I think that one's working. We'll see how long before we go to jail there. I think today's episode will be pretty safe. So anyway, if you're not over on Free World, go check it out. The chat is pretty good. I see just me and you in there and some fancy civilian. And here on Rumble chat, we've got Possum King, Harps, Steven, Raul, Little John. Am I missing anybody? Brian,
Deb.
Yeah, Deb's in there. Nice. Well, thank you for joining us. Remember to like and share it. I always forget to say that, but please like and share it. I don't know what's going on. We keep getting new subscribers like every day or so. We'll get one or two new subscribers, but it doesn't seem like the view counts are going up. So I don't know. Please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And Mary Ellen Moore, how you doing, Mary Ellen? Thank you for that episode last week. That was great. We are, if you did watch the episode last week, and I have a little bit of news on that, actually. Mary Ellen Moore did a fantastic job with, along with Angry Tiger, he was hosting it. And they broke down the difference between, you know, what's Israel, what's Jewish, the heritage, or the whatever you want to call it, the, I don't know if you call it race or whatever, and then the religion. Okay. And we didn't quite get done with that. We had to cut it short. So we are going to be doing a part two. I just got to get with everybody and see when is a good time for them. And we may have another person who's an expert in to come on. He did email me and said, you did a great job, Mary Ellen. So appreciate that. Anyway, so I guess we'll start with the verse of the week. You want to do that?
Absolutely, sir.
All right. Let's throw it up. My favorite book in the Bible, well, in the New Testament, is my favorite book in the New Testament. It comes from John. This is 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right, and I picked that one because we're not going to find peace anytime soon. We've got war raging. We got the government coming down on us. We got almost a civil war kicking off, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. We're looking at war with Iran, war with China, war with North Korea, possibly, you know, in the future. We've got ongoing stuff with Russia. We got stuff with Palestine and Israel that we're involved in. So we're not going to find any peace here, folks. But the peace on earth here, we got something better, right? We got peace inside, and that comes from God. What do you think about it, Angus?
I believe that they are trying to put us on as many fronts as possible and just to rip this country, you know, what they used to call that draw and quarter. You know, when it's what they want to do to this country. I mean, it's every day is something else now. You know, a little while ago, yeah. I saw that they're saying that the I know I always say this wrong, the Houthis fired a missile at a U.S. warship. So, you know, none of this stuff do we ever see any proof of. You know, it's, and there was a picture of a British or some tanker heading to Britain burning, got hit by a missile that had Russian flammable liquid on it that was transferred over in the middle of the night, you know, because they're not supposed to be buying anything from Russia. But
wow, I hadn't heard about that. There's so much news going on that, you know, and I think that's by design. You can't stay focused on anything because there's so much going on. And that is by design, because if they can keep us distracted, then they could do what they want behind closed doors and no one's paying attention.
Well, you know, and that's kind of funny too. I mean, we all know that they, you know, they control the news cycle and they put out there what you want to see. So this morning I did like I do every Saturday morning. I got down here and just started looking at, you know, current headlines. And one I was looking for might not be a current headline, but I was the terrorist that threatened, you know, we will remember him. He was apparently held in Gitmo and this and that. He, for whatever, now he's a terrorist threat. So they released him, you know. So I was trying to find that and I could not find that anywhere this morning, you know.
Really?
And of course, sitting at my keyboard typing in terrorist, you know, and I'm thinking, oh man, NSA is watching me this morning, you know, and soon there'd be Blackhawks going over and people knocking on my door. But it was weird. I don't even know the guy's name. And you know, I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. But if anybody, you know, has seen that, I believe that is your next Osama bin Laden, and that's going to lead to the next false flag.
Hey, real quick in the chat, we have Gardner Goldsmith joined us. What's going on, Guard? And then we also have MXtra420 joined us. And if you're listening in the chat, either Free World or Rumble, go ahead and if you know where that link is, if you know what Angus is talking about, drop that link and we'll show it to everybody. We're on the radio, but we're also video as well. So, I see Guard. I'm seeing your comments from Twitter. That's pretty awesome, Guard. StreamYard's kind of stepped it up a little bit. So anyway, before we get started, I do want to go over something that was, I seen this in David Knight's chat. Somebody dropped a link, so I think I'll share this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. I think you heard about this, right, Angus?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so the ICJ rules against Israel in Gaza genocide case. Okay, so the ICJ is the International Court of Justice, and just for reference, I've got it right here. It's legit. It's kind of like the UN's arm or whatever. It says the International Court of Justice is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations. So, whoa. The court stopped short of ordering Israel to cease all military activity. So they didn't go that far. The International Court of Justice ruled that Israel's actions in Gaza could plausibly amount to genocide. The ICJ ordered several injunctions on Israel, but stopped short of ordering a ceasefire. Wow. And we are supporting them. We are supporting what's looking to be genocide. What do you think about that, Angus?
Well, the one thing I don't understand, so you get this court that's telling, you know, basically Israel can thumb their nose at them no matter what they decide. So what sense does it make that they can say, okay, even, you know, this is, we need to have a ceasefire. Israel already said they don't care what, you know, the ICJ tells them. So how do we get people to follow through on that? I mean, now does that provoke the rest of the world to go to war with Israel? I don't understand how they follow through on any of this.
Yeah, that's kind of scary that, you know, it's kind of a suggestion, kind of like the World Health Organization, you know, puts out stuff as just a suggestion. And that was kind of done in the catastrophic contagion. That was one of the things that was brought out, is that we don't really have any. But I bet they've done some kind of treaty now where I guess it is lawful for them to tell us what to do. We gave up some sovereignty there. But anyway, what I'm looking at is us being on the wrong side of history. That's what I'm looking at. Now, normally the victor writes the history, right? Mm-hmm. But and that would be one of the it's always one of the UN, you know, NATO allies or whatever that claims to win, whether that's true or not. I mean, I don't think we won in Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe Iraq we did on that first one. But we write the history and say that. Well, if the people who write the history write us in as the bad guys, we're the bad guys. That's how it works. So that's what I'm concerned with. That's kind of a big deal. But that was just a little update. So I guess we'll get into our actual topics for the day. So you got some stuff on, let me show this up real quick. This is my new Texas flag. I sent this out to a bunch of people on Twitter. What do you think?
I retweeted that yesterday.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're not viewing, It's the come and take it flag with the cannon, but I replaced the cannon with some barbed wire, which was kind of fitting. So what do you got on Texas for us, brother?
Well, we got the trucker convoy. I actually heard about this the first time I was sitting on the plane yesterday, and somebody behind me started talking about it. Apparently, they thought it was, you know, happening at that point already. But so once I landed, once the plane landed, I wasn't flying it. I started looking it up, and it's supposed to be, I guess, the next weekend, not this upcoming weekend, but the one after, February 3rd, I think it's supposed to start. But it seems to me that if I was running this whole thing, I would do it now, because what I think is going to happen is they're going to, by telling, you know, telegraphing what you're going to do, gives the government time to set up. I mean, you know, they have what Canada did to the Canadian truckers, or when the U.S. truckers, remember when they went to Washington and they basically shut these people down. You know, they're talking like 700,000 trucks heading to Texas. That's not too hard to shut down.
Are these American
trucks? Yes.
Okay. Somebody had told me the Canadian truckers were going down there. I'm like, why would the Canadian truckers go down to the southern border? You know, I don't know. I haven't really delved into that one because, like I said, there's so much going on. You can't really stay on top of every topic right now, you know, unless you were to just consume news 24/7, which I have a grandson that I take care of. I can't do that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say,
I'm looking at a headline right now. And
I think we got a little bit of a delay. So you go ahead.
Yeah, there's something. So Texas sees part. This is a CNN headline. Is that Texas sees part of the U.S.-Mexico border. Really? I mean, it seems like that's where there's, you know, like a little bit of propaganda right there. Texas sees part of the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, it's the border of Texas. How did they seize it? I mean, they're making it sound like Texas attacked Mexico. I can see this going nowhere but bad really fast. You know, it would becoming a gun battle or something pretty instantaneously. You got all the migrants right on the border right there. In what last I saw was, I guess they're putting containers, you know, cargo containers up around there too, you know, instead of just the barbed wire. So okay, go ahead, cut the barbed wire, all the containers are in the way now.
Yeah, so maybe they mean when they say they seize it, maybe that means they're just watching it, so they be seeing it, they seize it. But Deb says that the Canadian truckers are heading down. So I've heard that. I didn't know if it was just Canadians, just Americans, or like just every truck available. I could see this turning into a January 6th type event where there's agent provocateurs that are going to cause some problems. Yes. Yeah. And it's going to be curious. It's curious to see if they do what they did in Canada here in the U.S., which is to cut off people's accounts so they can't get fuel and stuff.
You know they'll absolutely do that. And I was thinking of this yesterday, is that, you know, they'll probably also parlay this into food shortages and stuff. Well, you know, all the truckers are at the border, so things aren't flowing, you know, and then gas prices will start to go up now, and you name it. They're probably, you know, the government's probably hoping that they do this. So they just gives them all kinds of excuses. I mean, you know, they plan everything out so much now. There's just no way everything is such a coincidence anymore.
Yeah, I believe it is orchestrated. If not, they just take it and turn it to their needs or their use. I want to address something that Tiger's talking about in the chat. Welcome, Angry Tiger, by the way. So we've all seen this map, and I was trying to find out the source of this. I know David reported on it, and some people on Twitter, I believe even Mary Ellen Moore sent me something on it, but I was like, hey, anybody seen a source for this? And I don't know the original, like how we know it. And what this is, if you're viewing, this is a map of the United States, and the states in red, which there's 26 of them, that's more than half the union, are the ones that are kind of backing Texas on this. And the deal in Texas is a really big deal because it's states' rights, states' powers, what have you. And the federal government's coming down there telling them that they can't protect their own border. And Texas has declared that, I don't know if they've declared a state of an emergency, but they, you know, they have the right to protect their citizens. And the federal government's telling them they can't do that. And these are all the states that are kind of siding with Texas on this, their governors. I was wondering if this is going to bring us into like a type of civil war, maybe not a hot civil war. And Tiger says no. He thinks it's a big red herring. He says that this map was put out to agitate. And I would tend to agree with that, Tiger. The reason I would is because I was looking for the actual source, and all the sources were mainstream media. And they were in unison putting this map out. And we know what that means when they're all in unison. It means it was a planned release. Would you agree with that, Angus?
Yeah, and I agree. Absolutely. That's just to agitate people. I mean, everything now is you have to be is suspect to me whenever I see something, you know, especially on X, because, you know, the algorithms, you know, are putting stuff out there just to tee you up, you know. And like you said, so you get find the source of that map. Where did it actually come from? How do you know?
Yeah, I was trying to
Biden find. Sitting in his basement doing it.
It's not done in crayon. Just hold on. I want to put this comment on the screen. I got to do it through a banner. This is what Angry Tiger says. If you look at the financial market, they're still pumping the money into the Fed. Is not done consolidating assets yet. A civil war would interrupt this. So, I guess we're not ready for a civil war. Is that what you're trying to say? Because they're still getting things ready. Hey, Joyous Whitestone, what's going on? I see you jumped in the chat. Welcome. But it is a big deal, though. It's a states' rights issue, and a lot of people think that the civil war was over slavery. It was not over slavery. It was over the states' right to leave. And, you know, pretty much that's when everything got consolidated to the federal, you know, and the state's kind of like, technically they still have the freedom, but there's just so much money tied from the Fed, federal, that they can't really walk away, you know. I don't know what that would look like. But what else we got for Texas?
Let's see what else we got here. Well, the good thing is I'll be down there Monday all over again, and I can broadcast live from the border of Oklahoma.
Yeah, we got the border of Oklahoma. Serge the Purge went down yesterday, but he's in Arizona. Oh, yeah. He went to one of the major crossings there. He had heard that it was reopened, and he said there was nothing happening down there. So it makes you wonder how much of this is actually as bad as they say it is. I know Texas has legit stuff because we've seen footage on it. But yeah.
So they are talking 700,000 trucks.
Wow, it's a lot of fuel.
Yeah, it's a lot of vehicles on the road. It's.
Hey, Karen jumped in the chat. Good morning, Karen.
And also, Deb McCarthy says, Majid Khan was the terrorist, but I looked it up while we're talking here, and I don't think that's the same guy. So I still don't know the name of that terrorist. This guy was detained also, but I'll have to keep looking into that.
All right. Well, you know, sorry, we got a delay. My bad.
No, go ahead, Jason.
No, you go ahead.
No, go.
Okay. So one thing I was looking, because I was looking at the tech stuff for this week. And you ever hear of smart dust?
Not since you told me about it yesterday. It's pretty mind-blowing.
All right. Smart dust is like it's nicknamed smart dust, but it's called MEMS, which is what does the MEMS stand for? Micro Electromechanical Systems, or MEMS. And they're little sensors that they drop, and they can almost stay suspended in the air. They're so light. This article is over 5 years old. So this technology has been around. It's just very expensive. Something like the southern border, you know, you can't really build a wall, and it probably wouldn't work anyway. You have to go a tech route, you know, either drones, which, you know, we're not really supposed to be flying drones over the U.S. That's, you know, because you're inadvertently spying on people. But what they do, and they do have some of these, they have sensors that can detect motion, detect thermal, and report that, hey, there's some activity over in this area that's like remote, that it's not really possible to keep people out there all the time. So I can really see this being used. And this is just a what if, but these MEMS sound like a great solution. And that would be a good source of government funding to get this stuff off the ground, to, you know, to be able to produce it, mass produce these things. You know, just airdrop them. That's what you do. You air it. It's like dust. You just kind of chemtrail it, and then they fall on the ground. And I don't know, with this Texas thing come up, because I planned on reporting on this anyway. But the Texas thing, I just saw that as a possible way for these guys to get a bunch of money to develop this, or it's already developed, but to make it more feasible. So let's go into what these things are. It says, imagine a world where wireless devices are as small as a grain of salt. That's small. These miniaturized devices have sensors, cameras, and communication mechanisms to transmit the data they collect back to a base in order to process. Microelectromechanical, the MEMS, often called motes, I don't know what motes, what that's about, are real, and they very well could be coming to a neighborhood near you. What would these things be used for? What do you think? I mean, I said one thing, this is how I think that they could use Texas to develop this even further and get funding, but like, a neighborhood near you, what would you need MEMS for?
15-minute city.
Boom. There you go. It says they can detect everything from light to vibration to temperature with an incredible amount of power packed into a small size. It doesn't say how these things are really powered. Like, it doesn't get into the nuts and bolts. It makes me wonder if we have way higher level of technology available that the general public doesn't know about.
Oh, I 100% believe that. And, you know, this is not the platform to talk about it, because, you know, we try to stay with stuff we can prove. And but
yeah,
come on over to my show. We can talk about this there, because the night before last, I happened to be listening to Ground Zero at Clyde Lewis, and they were talking about alien artifacts and stuff. And it actually sounded exactly like what you're talking about with the smart, the micro dust or magic dust, whatever they're calling it. So maybe that is where technology comes from.
Yeah. I love technology stuff. I'm kind of a geek with that. I'm not into AI, and I'm not into, you know, nanobots in the body or brain chips. I don't like that stuff, but I like knowing about it, you know? So let me keep going here. Talk about these MEMS. They combine sensing and autonomous power supply. It doesn't say what that is. I mean, is it a miniature nuclear, you know, reactor or what, you know? Computing and wireless communications in a space that is typically only a few millimeters in volume. With such a small size, these devices can stay suspended in an environment just like a particle of dust. That's why they call it the smart dust. Anything with the name smart in it now, I'm not hip to. Like, I don't want to see it. No smart cars, no nothing.
Smartphone, all that good stuff. Smart TV.
And this is crazy, because it talks about how they make them. They're actually 3D printed as one piece on a commercially available 3D printer. That's tiny. I don't know if that's like a plastic filament, or, you know, they have metal printers, they have resin printers. But that's really, really small. So I've never seen a commercially available 3D printer that could do something like that. I don't know. There you go.
Maybe they're powered by little tiny wind turbines that are built into them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, the optical lenses that are created for these miniaturized sensors can achieve the finest quality images. Wow, that's crazy. So going to the application for this. Well, let me tell you what they say the applications are. Okay. Some of it sounds pretty benign, you know, monitor crops in an unprecedented scale to determine watering, fertilization, and pest control needs. I don't like the idea of dropping it on your crops, because what happens if you eat these things, you know?
I was actually just thinking the same thing, because Steven put in the chat that a smart dust, you know, it's in the air you breathe. So what happens if you're inhaling this stuff all the time?
I guess you're tagged. You're officially tagged like a cow, you know. They don't have to poke the hole in the ear. Just breathe in this tag. Monitor equipment to facilitate more timely maintenance. Okay. Identify weaknesses and corrosion prior to a system failure. See, and that would be great. That would be great for like airplanes, but why does it got to be dust? Why can't they just put it in like some paint, paint it on, and they could check, you know, for stress fractures and stuff like that. Here's the one that's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. Enable wireless monitoring of people and products for security purposes. People.
Yeah, it's so. So what I'm looking at, and I don't know if you heard this week. This is when I heard about it. It might be longer than this week, but now they're saying that food from urban agriculture has carbon footprint 6 times larger than conventional produce. So, you know, now that I start seeing all these articles about, you know, family farming, you know, a greenhouse in your backyard is, you know, destroying the earth. So they're going to want to shut that stuff down. So this is also where this dust comes in handy for them. You know, if you drop it in.
And I would say that's a lie, because industrial farming has a lot of waste. A lot of it spoils on the way to market, which is why, you know, they come up with that appeal crap that they spray on it. That's a Bill Gates thing. When you garden at home, a lot of people use compost. They don't even necessarily go get like high nitrogen fertilizer. They just compost. Mm-hmm. There's not as much waste because they jar it, you know, they eat it or they jar it. And then whatever is wasted goes either back into compost, or they feed it to the pigs, or, you know, throw it out and the cats and dogs eat it, or the birds. So I know when we farmed, we had little to no waste. In fact, we usually didn't have enough. We kept growing the garden bigger and bigger. So I call BS on that claim, you know.
But that's what they want. So, you know, of course, the WEF, you know, met last week, and they're also saying that, you know, coffee produces so much CO2. You know, tons and tons of it. So they're talking, one guy is saying, oh, you should only be allowed to have 3 cups of coffee a year or something like that. It's like, where do these people come up with this stuff from?
Okay, you don't need Texas to start a civil war. You just need to go after the coffee.
Come get my coffee. Come on, bring it on.
Yeah, that'll kick off a war. But anyway, there's some other applications listed here. It basically says measuring anything that could be measured nearly anywhere. And let's see, there's privacy concerns. Many that have reservations about the real world implications of smart dust are concerned about privacy issues. Well, since smart dust devices are miniature sensors, they can record anything that they are programmed to record. Since they are so small, they're difficult to detect. And then it goes on and says, given how small they are, it would be challenging to detect them if you weren't made aware of their presence. Well, of course, you know, and they were talking about if a rogue element was to use them for nefarious purposes. I would say that would constitute our government right there. You know, rogue elements. And then they go into
the talking about our government being the rogue element.
Absolutely. And then they talk about the cost to implement such smart dust systems. That includes the satellites and other elements required for full implementation is high. So that's crazy that these little tiny things would have enough power to communicate with a satellite. I don't think that's how, maybe they get their instructions from a satellite. But I would think it would have to be something kind of local that you have to go there with a reader or something, or have a node that's close by that it talks to, like a cell phone tower. That's what they're talking about.
Yesterday when you and I were discussing this, you really like opened my eyes right away when you said Starlink. So they put this stuff down, and then they got Starlink, the continuous belt of satellites that can just track everything on, you know, going on. It's, you know, like I would say, there's always pieces of the puzzle, and you start putting them together. I mean, is this what, you know, people think, well, you know, Starlink's for your internet. If you get perfectly good internet, which we're not having today because we keep getting a delay here and lag and all that. So Starlink's not really working that well for that, but maybe it's working wonderful for the magic dust. Maybe it's busy today tracking truckers going down to Texas. So it's a little bit.
Yeah, and going back to the green thing, right? I was reading, and I forgot to mention this the last time I talked about Starlink. They're testing this new Starlink, these clusters of satellites. I guess they got to use a cluster or whatever because they're so low, they got to move fast to stay in orbit. So it probably picks up from one to the next, to the next, to the next. That's probably how it works. But they were testing it in 13 cities in the U.S. And I think that constituted about 400 and something satellites. So imagine they want to cover the globe in an uninterrupted, no void spots anywhere. The entire globe, they want to have this network. And I think that's for CBDC and, Global ID and stuff as well. But there's nowhere to hide from it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how many doggone satellites? If it takes 400 to service 13 cities, how many for the entire world? How many rockets do we got to send into space? Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about green, the green is all about the money. That's what the green is about. But anyway, yeah, they could be using it for the smart dust. And I linked it to the Texas thing because where I really saw this going is when Courtney Turner did the report on the natural asset companies, and they basically want to whittle us down to a few 15-minute cities, and then the corridors, which is the highways between them, and everything else is either highly restricted or off limits. And I thought to myself, how are they going to enforce that? What's to stop me from just walking off 20 miles in one direction if nobody's out there? I just, pitch a tent and start homesteading out there. Well, this smart dust would allow them to do that.
Yep.
It really would. So, and then I saw Texas as a potential, it's a potential that they could use that and say, hey, we got your solution right here for the border. If they're smart, they'll do that. You know, I don't want them to do that, but if they're smart, they'll come to the government and get some of that funding, you know?
But I wonder how long each one of these particles last. Did it say anything about that? So, is it once they pour it down, does it last forever, or does it have to be continuously replenished too?
So I didn't get a lifetime of it, of one of these little grains of salt size things, but the way they were talking about the power, let me see what it said again. It doesn't say what it says, an autonomous power supply. So I imagine if it's something that could pull energy out of the air, that's small of an item. If the power requirement was really low, you can actually use an induction system where you just take the radio waves. Oh, an RFID chip, right? Mm-hmm. It can last pretty much forever if it's designed to be every time you scan it, it induces a little current onto it. You know, and as long as you constantly scan it, it'll stay charged. So this could be something like that. Maybe the Starlink, as it communicates with it, is, that's a
charging
electrical frequency, right? You could induce a little bit of current into a teeny tiny battery. It's not specific on it, but I would assume that if it's autonomous, that means it will last as long as it needs to and pretty much forever until it malfunctions, which it's a single piece. There's it's not put together. It's 3D printed. So technically, I guess it could last forever. But this doesn't seem like one of those things that a startup company would be like, hey, let's make some smart dust, especially, having access to that kind of technology. I think that this is something that's government pushed or globalist DARPA. Pushed, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's it on the smart dust, man. I don't know. Maybe we should make our own little EMP generators and just start every time we go outside, just blast a little EMP to kill off the little bugs or the little.
Well, so, you know, next week we'll be talking about chemtrails. Maybe, you know, that's what they're also spraying down.
You know, I thought about that too, you know. That would be that. That's the delivery method, because they were talking about it, you know, hanging out in the air. That could be. All right. Any more? You got any questions on the MEMS, the dust?
I have no more questions on it. Okay. I was wondering how much of it has been ingested.
Yeah, it's almost like nanotech, really. If you eat it or breathe it in, so I don't know. But hey, we're gonna take a quick break. Let me drink a water, go down my gullet here, and I'm gonna play a commercial from Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. See if I can find it. Oh, I don't have it in here. Okay, I'll play Tiger's commercial. Here you go, Tiger.
Are you ready? Financial news.
So you see, you would figure with some of this calamity going on, the markets would be devastated. I wonder why they're not. Do you think the banks are the only place that the central banks are injecting liquidity and money into?
Geopolitics.
I mean, this is after the Cold War, after the USSR fell, and bang, now we got this Ukraine thing. Same thing with this. There's something going on in Taiwan. We're going to stick our noses where they don't belong in Taiwan if they have some kind of problem with China. They're building up to this.
Religion.
I think what we have found out is that man taints the religion, that governments and people in power who are looking for power taint the religion.
Addiction special.
I wanted to talk about, and I know we've touched on this before, we touched on nicotine last time. I want to touch on the cell phones.
Epic rants.
We are clowns. They are, the world laughs at us. We are morons. It's so infantile. That is infantile. There is zero dignity left.
Catch the Angry Tiger's Den Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. Also, tune in Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Tiger and Snake Financial Report. See you there.
Yeah, and if you didn't catch the times, it went too fast for you, just go over to knightsofthestorm.com. And there's a schedule tab, and it's going to show you when and where. And I did update this. I think it's current now. So, and then also, if you go to the friends, if you wanted to support Tiger, and maybe this is my internet being slow today. You go down, and I actually got a website, his website linked. So you can go there. I think it's tigersden.net. Yeah. the-tigers-den.net. And I think he's selling Jesus 2024 signs, which is kind of cool. But,
So why during that commercial, somebody happened to send me a link, and it's from the Epoch Times, where saying farmers could be labeled as being guilty of ecocide and could face criminal prosecution for the acts of farming. So, I've seen that. That's like twice in this past couple of days I've seen that ecocide. So now, you know. Yeah, there's your new word of the week.
Ecocide. I love it. All right. What else do you got for us besides the Texas stuff?
All right. So other things that I found that I actually heard about this the other day, and I was thinking it was California, but it's Colorado. Colorado healthcare workers get live Ebola vaccine. So now, it just seems to me that they're prepping for Disease X. As that came up in at the WEF, I believe, they're talking about Disease X, the next terrible thing that's going to happen. You know, is going to make COVID look silly, which people. Yeah, I'm not even get into that, but I'm wondering, is this their next plan for Ebola?
Well, like I was talking about the World Health Organization and that little treaty or whatever it was that gives them, it basically takes their recommendations and almost makes it mandatory, right? I think the states still have their rights, and this whole Texas thing is kind of like showing that the federal government don't want the states to have their rights or their powers. But yeah, now that that's gone through, and I'm pretty sure we did not opt out of it. Yeah, they need a disease now so they can tighten the control down. And Ebola, I didn't think there was a vaccine for Ebola, you know?
And neither did I. And so is it just the mRNA, you know, one jab fits all thing? You know, are they just
brought to you by Pfizer?
Yeah. And Moderna and whoever else and Donald Trump.
And that's another thing, too. You know, you got COVID came out. And they come out with a vaccine that was supposedly 95% safe and effective, all that stuff. And now it's down to, well, it's only 40, 50% effective. And you got to get a new, like an annual. Now, even if it did work, like they say it does, it's good for the COVID. But now you got these other variants. It would not work for the other variants. It's kind of like the flu. Every year you got to get a flu shot, and they got to kind of guess what strain it's going to be, because if you got strain A and you get vaccinated for that, but strain B comes out, you're not fully covered for that. You know, that's according to what they say. So I don't understand how this one vaccine to rule them all covers all these different variants. You know, I know it's new technology, so I'd just like to see him explain that to me. And someone asked that question, you know.
You can't question anything that they tell you. You know, that's not allowed. They are the overlords, so to speak. In their minds, they are. I mean, my question is, why can't we pay, like, Putin some cash? You know, we'll get, you know, a GoFundMe page going, pay Putin some cash and have him take out Davos next time. You know. Give him something. There's got to be stop this.
Speaking of Davos, I was thinking about this morning. One of the major topics they talked about this past year or this year was information, misinformation, disinformation, and you know, combating that. I would say if you look at who gets it wrong more than anybody, it's the mainstream media, you know? So I don't think what they're combating is, you know, what they talk about behind closed doors isn't combating misinformation, disinformation from, you know, the alt media. I think it's more like, how do we get the mainstream to be believable? You know what I mean? Like, how do we get our information? I think it's a little bit of both. They want to bolster their, increase confidence in their information. Enough that people go back to the mainstream and they suck up the narrative.
Well, I mean, the mainstream media, in my belief, and there's plenty of proof, they're fed what to say. What they consider false information is this truth that people like us are trying to put out there, but it doesn't go with their narrative, and that's what they're looking to, you know, to do away with, or, you know, and censor and control, because they can't, they're at the steps where they're being able to control what is said. And like we talked about a couple of months ago, where, you know, Canada's talking about going after podcasts and stuff like that. I mean, you know that, you know, they can go after your chat. That's happened to you. The liberty or the torch of free speech on X. You know, you make a comment on there, boom, they shut you down. So this, you know, this whole illusion of free speech on social media platforms is nothing. It's all a lie. You know, don't look at the wizard behind the curtain type stuff.
Yep. Hey, real quick, I wanted to say, I think this is one of the first times I've been able to stream to Facebook. It gave me kind of a, like, your account's too new to do this, even though I did a test stream, like two or three of them, and then got deleted them just to see how it worked. When I went to go live the first time, I said, oh, you can't do that. You got to be around for a while. So today it's letting me go live, and I have, it has actually got a little icon up here that shows that there's someone over there. So I want to say hi to Hannah over on Facebook. Thanks for watching. Anyway, where were we at? I lost my train of thought.
Brain fog is brain being fog. Caused by microwaves. Is that what's happening to you this morning? I'm still trying to recover from last night. So
Yeah, I've been forgetting to take my fish oil lately. Oh, well, I can see the comments. So Hannah says, mainstream media is most definitely governed by the federal government. They can't host what's real, and the government will continue to try to bury free form media that speaks truth and facts. Yeah, Hannah, I got really attacked. They shut down my Google, like the Google search engine, which didn't seem like a big deal, but it turns out that Google in its entirety has so much code tied into about 90% of the websites out there. So, you know, other search engines, I was having a bad time with it. I ended up using Yahoo. I guess they don't have anything Google in it. And I was able to search, but then I would go to a page. Okay, this is what I'm looking for. And the page would sit there and it would partially load, and then it would spin and spin and spin because something on there, maybe it's an embedded map. You know, think about going to a real estate website and there's a map embedded that shows you where the house or whatever is. If that's a Google map, you're going to stall out. You know, lots of Google code goes into different websites. So, and even my my website, I use Wix for the Knights of the Storm website. I use a Google login to log into that. So if I needed to do something with the website, I wouldn't be able to log in to administer it. And I couldn't chat in the free world chat because that uses a Google login. I couldn't type for some reason on Rockfin. I everything worked on Rockfin, but I couldn't type anything in the chat at first. You know, I'd have to use my phone to do that. So that's really everything behind my router, everything, my wife's phone, my phone, if they were on Wi-Fi, my computer, her computer, the tablet, everything had couldn't get to anything Google. So you're right. Anyway, that was a tangent. I know most of you already know that story.
So with the supposed computer chip shortage that's been going on since, I don't know what's been.
Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about that, well, because a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, well, my company, we deal a lot with PLCs, you know, programmable logic computers and all kinds of different stuff. And we have PLC or regular PCs in our systems. And, you know, the lead times now are getting out to almost a year on some of this stuff because they said there's a chip shortage. And, you know, and they tell you the chip shortage is due to materials and this and that. And I really believe that what's going on is the chip shortage is being caused by them buying up as much for AI and maybe also for the systems for the Bitcoin mining. So there's not an actual shortage. There's a shortage to regular people, you know, in businesses, but the government and who's ever controlling the AI, you know, Microsoft or whoever, they're getting the majority of it. That's what I believe. Because if you look, one day I posted the interview you and I did with Don Jeffries, and I put it on, I had a channel on YouTube, and I put it up there, and about 3-4 days later, I was suspended for medical misinformation. So that took, you know, almost a week. Now I got busted on X for a comment, and it was like, what happened to you? Instantaneous.
Right.
You know, well, I don't think it's because I think they're using the same algorithms and the same AI and all that, but that's what I believe is happening. I just think it's growing faster and faster, and they're going to start to be able to take stuff down a lot quicker because like you were saying before about followers and, you know, on your channel and stuff like that, that seems to be like that's controlled too.
Yeah. So Hannah over on Facebook, talking about some stuff has happened to her, trying to get updated info in Texas and the current border conflict, even Facebook posts are being buried regarding the current events unfolding in Texas, and they are happening in real time. I will tell you, I was talking to David when I was on his show, and I talked about the transcript feature on Substack, which uses an AI, and it did really good. I've let it do it now for like an hour to an hour and a half long video episode. It takes about 7 minutes, if that, to transcribe that entire episode. That means the AI has looked at the entire thing, determined all the words, which it did very well at. And it also determines how many people. And you could tell it, okay, person one was Jason Barker. And throughout the entire transcript, it knows when I was speaking and it tags it with Jason Barker. So, and that's all like within 7 minutes. that's pretty doggone quick to go through an hour and a half long video and do that. You know, what would that take me or you to do? You know, take us a day, you know?
You're going to say at least 9 hours. I mean, going back and forth. And that's
yeah, and back day. To your chip shortage. We've seen this happen. We know that they're building these big data warehouses because they're collecting so much data. It's got to go somewhere. You know, the cloud isn't like a magical thing. Of course, it may be. Maybe with this sparkle dust, maybe that could be the cloud, right? Like literally the cloud. But no, they're collecting so much data so fast, they got to put it somewhere. And even if it's stored in the cloud has a physical entity somewhere on the ground where that, you know, disk space is. And, you know, we saw this already with crypto. When crypto took off, we had a GPU shortage, which GPUs are still freaking expensive. I built this computer and it cost me around $1,800 to build. And I built it maybe a year and a half ago now, maybe almost 2 years ago. And the GPU, if I wanted to get a good, that's like the weakest link in my computer is the graphics card, because graphics cards were like $2,000 for a decent one. So even looking at the computer I built 10 years before that, I looked at a graphics card with the same stats as that video card, you know, because it's a newer card, you know, but it's the same stats. And it would have cost me 3 to 4 times what I paid, you know, and that's not due to inflation. That's due to scarcity.
Yep.
So, you know, and like you said, I agree. I don't think there's a lack of supply. I think there's a rise in demand and supply hasn't met it. And they are opening, I forget where it's at, but they are opening a chip manufacturing place here in the US, which is great because that's jobs. But that just tells you if all of a sudden we have to start making more chips here in the US when we can get them made cheaper overseas, you know, then there is not a shortage. I think the production is either the same or higher, but they need more of them.
Well, going back to these giant warehouses, you know, that to house these Bitcoin mining operations, and I believe what also is probably for AI. I drive through Texas and you'll see these warehouses in the middle of nowhere. It's, you know, well, that seemed like quite an odd place for, you know, a trucking company or something. Yeah. There may be one trailer parked outside, you know, and there's like 300 doors around the building. You got to wonder what I drove by one this week, just outside of Dallas. And there's like 4 or 5 trucking companies surrounding this one building in the middle. It looks like a big warehouse, but I realized it has no doors, no bay doors on it or anything for loading and unloading trucks. It just kind of blends into the landscape, fenced, you know. So what's in there? Is that Bitcoin mining or is that part of AI or the data storage for all the, you know, your emails and all everything else that they're skimming off of us?
Yep. All right. Well, hey, we got to move on here. We only got 34 minutes left. Any other final thoughts on the whatever we were talking about, the chips?
No, and so I was just thinking because somebody made a comment about EVs, some chips going into the EVs. EVs are on the decline. And I was at a customer yesterday. I won't say where it was. I won't say who it was, but they used to make starters and alternators. They're a global company. They have, you know, facilities in Mexico, you know, and then, so I went to this place and it is absolutely huge. They have 3 campuses at this one location. And I was walking, the building was like empty in most areas. And they were telling me, they said they used to make starters and alternators here, you know, casting the housings and everything and doing all the assembly. And I said, where did it all go? They said, well, we shipped that down to Mexico because they're now making components for EVs. As of 3 years ago, they decided to do that changeover. Well, now they're regretting it because they said, you know, Ford, for one, Ford is hesitating on whether or not they're going to stay in the market or get out. I think more than likely they're getting out. And the other manufacturers that they cover are the same. They're all starting to go, maybe this isn't working out quite the way we thought it was. You know, so now a company like that, you know, these people in this building, they said the employees are 4,500 people. So what happens if they decide, all right, we don't need these components anymore for EVs? they already shipped all their stuff for starters and alternators down to their Mexico plant. What would happen if they suddenly decided that, you know, we're not going to be building EVs anymore?
I wonder if that has something to do with if that had something to do with government incentives or mandates or restrictions. That's why they're switching over to building EV. That's really going to be a problem.
I know another company also that I used to be a customer in Ohio, and it was an engine plant, and the same thing, you know, because they, you know, a couple of years ago, EVs are, you know, that's the wave of the future. And they basically told the people in the engine plant within the next 5 years, they're going to be building nothing but EV components. So, you know, they start gearing up for all that. So what happens? The same thing, you know, maybe this isn't good. I think on the bright side, I think hydrogen power is actually starting to become the prominent new next fuel source, which would be better than EVs.
Yeah, I'm a fan of hydrogen. And I'm glad you brought up the EVs, because that's my next topic, actually. So the Department of Energy would disagree with you on EVs, you know, going kind of downhill. So I found this from the Department of Energy. It says, correcting the record about electrical vehicle sales, contrary to all the reports that are out there right now.
So you know what this is called, right?
Propaganda.
It's called propaganda.
Yeah. So this is myth one. They say myth one, EV sales are experienced a decline in absolute numbers. Now, see, they use that word absolute numbers on purpose. The fact is it's the rate of sales that are declining. So here's the sales. And if you're listening, I got a chart up right here. Here's the sales of how many EVs were sold starting from 2016 onward. And it looks pretty good, right? You see this number over here. Wow. 2.12 million were sold, when actually that's projected out to 2028. If we take a look at 2023, because that year is complete, they actually only sold under 1 million. It's a little over a million if you include the hybrid. I like how they lump the hybrid in with the EV. That's kind of very deceptive, because it's not an EV, it's a hybrid. But to make it look like the numbers are better than they are, they say, oh, let's throw some hybrids in with that. All right, so that's, and just to put that in perspective, that 0.8, whatever it was, 0.89 million sold. In 2023, 15.5 million cars were sold in 2023. So that 0.89 million makes up roughly 5.5% of the total market. Now, that's still not bad, in my opinion, for EVs. But, you know, they were expecting to hit these, you know, looking at that chart, they were expecting to see that kind of go up like a hockey stick curve, like, oh, yeah, these are going to take off. And it's not. So that was deceptive when they say, you know, use this word absolute numbers. Most people won't understand how statistics work. And they'll think, oh, yeah, that's right. They're not going down. You know, they sold more this year than last year, but they didn't sell as many more. So that's false. There's a lack of charging infrastructure. That's myth number two. Now, I've got some other articles in here that I could go through that would say there is. I mean, how many gas stations do you have in your town?
Yeah, in my little town, we get probably six.
Probably say, how many charging stations do you have?
I know where there's some at the town hall, because that was like one of the first places a couple of years ago that got them, which kind of ticked me off, because you can go plug your car in there for free, but yet why don't they have a gas pump that when I go up there and visit, I can fill my car up too for free? But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
You ask the people in Chicago during their cold snap the other week, with all these people with the EVs, and how convenient that was for them when they found out the batteries don't stay charged as long. There was people saying it was 5 hours to charge their car.
Yeah.
And of course I don't know who made the statement, if it was, you know, a Tesla spokesperson, somebody in the EV market said, well, you have to plan your trips better. You have to know where the charging stations are. Really, these people are going to work. They're not going cross country or something. I mean, really? So, but I can tell you, I rent a car every week, and I rent Hertz every week. Hertz has a lot of Teslas. They also have another manufacturer and all that. Hertz is getting rid of them. because they said it actually costs more to maintain the EVs. And for some reason, renting an EV, whenever they put them up on, you know, on the rental screen, they're 2 to 3 times as much as a regular car. And why? And they've tried to get me off. It's like, I don't even know where I can charge this thing. I mean, I know, you know, the hotel doesn't have a place for me to plug it in. So what am I going to do with this stupid thing? So, but yeah, they're selling theirs off.
Going back to the infrastructure, you know, you said you have 6 gas stations in your hometown, and that's enough to service everybody in that town and the people who pass mm-hmm. through the town, right? You don't have like lines down the street, like there was some gas shortage or something, right? If people get in, they get out. You have pumps that are empty. But now imagine that's if it takes you, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to fill your car up. Now, if it takes you 2 hours to charge, you know, if you had 6 charging areas in your town, but it takes 1 hour or 2 hours to charge a vehicle on a fast charger, to fully charge a vehicle, you're going to need more like 600 stations to be able to service everybody. Otherwise you'd be waiting around. And, I actually got something that Harp sent me, or he mentioned it in chat, and I went and did the math on it. It was a EV challenge, and they did it in Australia, and I'll get into that. But let's get back into the myths. Okay, consumer interest is waning. Okay, they say that's a myth. I think we could tell by all the other articles and sales and stuff. The fact that, take a look at this one right here and bring it up. As EV sales growth slows, some drivers could buy one for as little as $10,000 this year.
Yeah.
That tells me there's no public interest if they want to drop the price down. And that's, and even say cooling demand for electric vehicles is bringing down prices in some cases steeply, but tighter battery requirements leave fewer cars eligible for federal tax credits. So you're talking about you're dropping the price of the car and you're giving people tax credits and they still don't want them. So I think the only people that won were the people that haven't done any research. There are plenty of reasons not to buy an electric vehicle. And I'll go ahead.
No, I mean, they're getting it for virtue signaling. You know, that's all they're doing it for. I mean, there's some people that can get an EV and, you know, maybe go back and forth. They don't have far to go to work or something like that. You know, that's fine. I don't totally disagree with the whole thing, but to say that, you know, the force feed is upon people that this is what we're going to be doing when you don't have the infrastructure and it just doesn't work. And another thing, don't ever park them in your garage.
Yeah, I want to talk
because if it catches fire.
I used to be a fan of around town. I'm not anymore. Not after what I just read and the math they did. And I want to address Joyous Whitestone had a comment. Says people have their own charging stations at their homes. Yes, they do. A lot of times you can get that depending on which vehicle you buy. You can get that installed, and sometimes you have to pay for it yourself. The problem is they're not fast chargers. Rather than 2 hours to charge your vehicle, you're talking like 7 or 8 hours to charge your vehicle. So, and then you're picking up the cost of that electricity. Also, you're increasing the risk of having a fire. Not all houses are wired. You got mm-hmm. 220, maybe 2-phase or 3-phase to your home, but you got to rewire your entire home, probably get a different transformer on the pole. If everybody went to an EV, your entire neighborhood infrastructure would have to be redone because it can't supply the amperage. Because, you know, everyone's charging their car at the same time when they get home, right? That's going to overload the transformers and things like that. It's not feasible. I think in my neighborhood in Georgia, if 3 people, and it wasn't a very big neighborhood, but if 3 people, more than 3 people were to charge an EV at the same time, we'd have problems. And our stuff was all underground. So if you have a problem there, that's bad. It's very expensive to fix. Anyway, so yeah, you can get a charger in your home and that's fine. If you're the only guy in your neighborhood or, you know, one of 2 guys in your neighborhood, you can get away with that if you don't mind long charge times, but you're not going to get these little, like when you pull up to an actual charging station where you get the fast charge. So,
well, you know, so the other thing is now, I don't know how your electric bill is out there, but you know, electric bills in the Northeast have, you know, really gone up because of all the extra charges they're putting on. So now I got to charge a car. And as you and I talked once before, you know, I got four cars in my driveway. So if I have four EVs, how much is that? And like you said, now I have to increase the amperage on my house. You know, I have 100 amp service here. So what do I have to go to? You know, 500 amp service, you know, even if it's 200, I got to pay somebody to do that. I got to pay, you know, the power company has to come and take care of that. And it's just, you know, like I said, the whole infrastructure is just not there. It's typical the way this country runs. Well, not the country, but the politicians run stuff. They, you know, they put the cart before the horse. They don't have everything. You ever been to a Buc-ee's gas station?
Yeah, they're actually building one. I think it actually opened over in Springfield. I had never heard of one till I went to Georgia, and all these people from Texas kept talking about Buc-ee's. And I'm like, what is a Buc-ee's? But in Georgia, I finally seen one. It's crazy. Yeah.
100 gas pumps. So now imagine that's 100 EV charging stations and people, 45 minutes, everybody's plugged in.
Yeah, you'd have to make a power plant right there.
Yeah. I mean, people don't look at that. It's like, where do you think it's that comment that's on the opening of Event Horizon where, you know, a fool is somebody that thinks that, you know, energy for electricity for, I can't remember what it was, you know, but you know, it is harmful to the environment, but, you know, energy for a Tesla that's green. It's not, it comes from the same source. You know, everybody just gets that magic feeling. Oh, this is green energy.
Well, it's actually worse. It's worse because every time you hit a transformer, you go across the transmission line, there's loss there. There's loss through heat. And then once you charge your battery up, it's, you know, if it sits there, it's going to lose some of that charge. And then you got to consider the car on average weighs a half a ton or more additional on top of a gas. So you're moving, you know, it's the laws of physics. It takes X amount of energy to move X amount of weight down the road. If your car weighs more, it takes more energy. So it's way, way more inefficient than a gasoline vehicle. Gasoline. And that's another thing. You get a full tank of gas as you're driving and the gas is consumed, your car becomes lighter. That doesn't happen with a battery. It could be completely dead at, you know, 2%, 3% left, and it still weighs the same. So that's what people don't understand.
I was thinking of that the other day because, you know, they were talking about EV tractor trailers and stuff and the weight that would be, you know, the tractor would have to weigh so much with all the batteries and everything. It'd be heavier than the load that's pulling. I wonder if anybody's thought about EV fire trucks yet. Can you imagine an EV fire truck? You know, a tanker or something carrying all that water. And this thing's got 80,000 pounds of batteries attached to it. It would just be so useless. You know, granted, maybe in the future, the technology moves better and we get to that point. But like I said, you can't just tell people this is what you're going to be doing, like it or not.
I want to see an electric fire truck catch fire.
it can't even put itself out.
Yes. Handy has a question. It's a good question. He asked if EV batteries develop a memory like other batteries.
I've heard that they do.
Yeah, the lithium ion, they do. They're not as bad as the old NiCad, where you don't want to charge them until they're completely discharged. Lithium ion, but they do lose that capacity over time. That's a fact. And even if you don't catch fire, after about 7 or 8 years, you have to replace the battery, and it could be anywhere from $13,000 to $20,000 for that battery.
The Chevy Volt, there was a study done on that it actually costs more to replace the battery than the initial cost of the car.
Yeah, they totaled the car. Like,
yeah, it's like, I'm not even going to bother. EV air travel Ripper put in there, and I have seen that too. They're developing an electric airplane. I am not getting on that. I'm sorry. So now you got lithium batteries flying above a city.
The few stocks I still have, I have one in a mining company that mines silver and other things, but silver is their primary. And then I got in on four of these EVTOLs, electric vertical takeoff and landing machine companies. And I knew that one would take off. Two of them are actually starting to take off, you know, to forgive my pun, but because I know they're going to go there. I just know they're going to go there. I will never get on one. But anyway, let me get us back on track because I got another. I want to get to this EV challenge. We probably won't get to the self-driving car story today, but because I definitely want to be out of here before America Unplugged comes on.
Yep.
But I'll kind of buzz through this real quick, kind of paraphrase it. So, yeah, there's tax credits, and this is what happened. Inflation Reduction Act. I guess they put some limits on who can get the tax credit. So I don't know how giving away free money to people reduces inflation. It seems to me like it would do the opposite because they have to print more money or steal it from you, you know. So they basically, it was $7,500 or a partial would be $3,750. And it went from 43 models the year prior down to 15. And that's because if the batteries are made in China or with minerals sourced in China with a significant amount, they didn't want to give you the credit. So, and then there were some things as well as far as salary. If you made over 300,000 or combined 300,000 a year, then you couldn't get the credit. So only for poor people, I guess. And those poor people can't afford an EV. So it was a stupid program. But anyway, let me get into this last story. I think I had more on the EV stuff, but I think we covered the main point. Let me go back to the myths real quick. Oh, here we go. EVs are not as affordable enough to compete with traditional combustion. And that kind of leads into that story. So they're saying that's a myth. They're not affordable. Well, I looked at this EV challenge that Harps referred to. And Harps, I got to apologize. Some of my math was off because I had referenced this this Audi versus Kia for some of the numbers, the $5 between the cars fueling over 1,400 kilometer road trip. That was not the numbers for these two vehicles. So I revised all my numbers. Actually wasn't that much different, but I'll basically give a breakdown. So you get this BMW 740i versus the i7 M70. And the only difference between these two cars is that one is I think it's a six cylinder. I didn't write it down here, but the other one's an EV. Otherwise they're identical cars. And they drove from Melbourne to Sydney, which is that's a really good test because there's hills and stuff involved, but they both start, you know, origin and destination are at sea level, roughly at sea level. So, you know, it was fair because you know that the electric car is going to suck on the uphill, but it has regenerative braking downhill. So it was a good test. And I think they were going on average around 80 kilometers an hour. There's a accompanying video with this article that I watched the whole video. It is actually really good video. So that would make it an 11 and a quarter hour trip at 80K. So one thing to note is they stopped three stops for charging, but they didn't need to. They could have done it in two, but one stop, the guy wanted coffee. Let's take a look at their stops for the charging. All right. Yeah. So I'm just trying to.
Why did he plug his car in
here? Range anxiety. That's the real thing. So they stopped in this New South Wales. Oh, by the way, just so you know, they did fuel the gas vehicle, but they didn't need to. The gas vehicle would have made it before, you know, in one trip. So that's worth noting. So they stopped for one. Go ahead.
This is similar to a test they did with the Ford Lightning electric pickup truck versus a diesel pickup truck. You know, with full load, trailering load and everything, and the Ford went from saying that it go 250 something miles to 86 miles. And, you know, so they did the same thing. They went on this journey and the diesel had to get gas. Well, nobody doesn't have to get gas, but it also doesn't sit at the pump for 45 minutes waiting to get charged and then only go another 86 miles. I mean, again, it goes that number thing, how they skew the numbers on everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to burn through this real quick. So the first stop, they were down to 2% battery charge, so they had to stop. That was an hour and 7 minutes, which, you know, technically for a drive that long, you might stop that long and have lunch in a gas vehicle. I'm trying to skip through there. So there was some problems. This is during the what was that, that thing that happened, Harps? And there was an outage. Okay. The Opus network outage. I think that's some kind of a network, internet type thing. It knocked out a number of chargers in the country, affecting the EV network, which is, that's what they're charging, the EV network. Due to mobile authentication being required to do payments. So you have to have a phone, by the way, to number one, find these charging stations, and number two, to pay for them, which I don't like. You know, you can't really use cash. Okay, but they do have a manual RFID card that allowed to charge. So that was kind of cool. So stop number two, 19 minutes. They just stopped to get coffee, but still 19 minutes. That would have gave them a significant charge. It didn't say in here what percentage it went up, but if the first stop was a full charge at an hour and 7 minutes, 19 minutes would have, you know, probably gave them 10, 20%, maybe more. So a third stop was in Alexandria, New South Wales, and 42 minutes. And that was just outside of Sydney. That was their final. And they did get fuel there, but they didn't really need to on the gas car. So going back to our myth saying that it's, you know, affordable. Let me go back here. I'll just read off my paper. Did the math on it. So the cost difference between the two vehicles is $72,000. Now, I know this is a higher end vehicle and it's not going to be the same for, like, you know, something me or you can afford. $72,000 cost difference. There ended up being a $9.21. And this is in, I know the article or in the video says more Harps, but that was in dollars or in Australian. So I converted that over to dollars. So it was so $9.21 between the cost of the charging, because you got to pay for that. And they did get one free charge in there as well. So I don't know if that was the short charge, the 19 minute charge, or the long one, I'm not sure, but they got one free charge. So between the cost of the electric charging and the cost of the fuel, and I'm guessing that's probably why they fueled up. They probably started with a full tank. When they got there, they refilled the tank so they could see how much fuel they used. I'm sure that's the point of that last fill up. It was $9.21 for that trip. So how many miles was it? I forget what the miles was, but oh yeah, that's right. It was in miles. It was 560 miles. So you take that 72,000, and this is where I'm trying to say it's not cost effective. You take that $72,000 difference between those two cars, because, you know, if you're going to buy this car, you're going to think, well, if I get an EV, I'm going to say, you know, it'll save me money in the long run. You know, well, let's explore that for a minute. $72,000 difference between the cars. You divide that by $9.21 per 560-mile trip, and that gives you 7,818 trips to make up for that $72,000. And in miles, that's 7 million, over 7 million miles. Americans drive, I looked this up, Americans drive on average 14,263 miles a year. It would take you 493 years to break even. And that's if the battery don't go bad. And, you know, so your great, 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 great grandkids might see you break even.
Yeah. And it might be paid off by that point.
Yeah. And then one of the other things, going back to the EV, I wanted to talk about. Yeah, we're going to skip the self-driving cars, because I got to be out of here before America Unplugged. I never want to get over their time. I was trying to find it. Maybe I didn't put it up here. But one of the things that Biden was complaining about, here it is, just the title alone. The electric vehicle math isn't adding up, with average transaction price around $50,000 and gas price nationwide falling to $3 a gallon. So the reason I bring that up is because in order to push, if they're blaming low price of gas on stalling EV sales, what do you think they're going to do with the price of gas?
No, absolutely. It's going to go up. I mean, I can't believe they haven't done that already. And I think this, again, we'll go back to our opening with the Texas border thing. when they say, well, you know, all these trucks, they're not delivering gas and they're not delivering. And you're going to see more inflation, and it's going to start with fuel.
John says to put solar panels on an EV car. Fisker did that.
I saw that, and I was going to comment the same thing. Fisker had the solar panels, but
I think all that does is keep it, and it, you know, because the battery loses its juice as it sits there. I think that just keeps it trickle charged, keeps it topped off. But if you were to park, and that thing, the whole freaking, it had a huge roof, and the whole thing was this nice solar panel. It'd be interesting to see if I took it out with a zero charge on the battery and park it in the sun, how many months it would take to fully charge it.
The place where I used to work, the woman owned the business next to us had the Fisker, and that was the first one I ever saw. An absolute nice looking car, but that thing spent more time on a flatbed, and there was no dealer, so it had to be shipped back to Pennsylvania from Connecticut to constantly be repaired. But a lot of it was software issues and this and that, but that was an absolutely stunning looking car as far as I was concerned.
Absolutely. It was a gorgeous car. I first time I seen one was in Georgia right before I got out, and I didn't know what it was. I had to snap a picture of it and Google it. And I thought it was a phenomenal looking car. I'd love to put a gas engine in one.
A Viper motor in that baby. That's what it needs.
Oh yeah. There's enough room. Enough room.
Enough room for a V10. That's for sure.
But anyway, you know what? I will go over this self-driving. I'll summarize it because we still got 6 minutes before the top of the hour. Basically, this was an article that says, are self-driving cars really safer or already safer than human drivers? Now, I don't know who did the math in this article because nothing adds up. Like literally, they don't know how to divide to come up with numbers. So it was weird. But anyway, Waymo and Cruise, they drove a combined total of 8 million driverless miles. They reported 102 crashes driverless crashes or whatever, but it happened over 6 million miles. That works out to one crash every 60,000 miles. Now, I don't know about you, Angus, but I can drive a couple hundred thousand miles without getting in a crash. Can't you?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Not a good track record. Not a good track record. But anyway, I'll kind of get into the bulk of it. I won't go over the numbers because we are running short on time here. And I don't know how they come up with this, because if you do their math, if you take their numbers and they say one crash every so many thousand miles, it doesn't add up in most of this article. But what they're basically saying is that it's not the car's fault, because most of these were mostly low speed collisions initiated by the other driver. We had things like getting rear-ended, getting hit in a parking lot, getting sideswiped and things like that. So basically what they're alluding to is these things are safer than humans, or getting to be safer than humans. And really they probably are, because we're the ones hitting the car. So we're the problem. You see what
isn't it amazing how that always works out, that we become the problem?
So yeah, I would,
it's just argue that we need to eliminate people from this planet because we're going to get in the way of autonomy.
I would argue this. Let's just look at the rear ending, right? Because there was a few rear end collisions that were pretty bad. You know, I'm smart enough as a human to realize when someone's tailgating me that, you know, I either slow down, brake check them, something to get them off my tail, or I just kind of get in the other lane and let them pass me. You know, so we avoid accidents. Yes, we cause accidents, but I think humans more times than not avoid accidents. Like when you're going down a parking garage or something, and all of a sudden someone starts backing out because they don't see you. You see them. So you stop, you know, and you flip them the bird because, you know, you had the right of way or whatever. But I think what's happening with these driverless cars is they don't have the reactive, you know, the reaction time that we have. They can't think ahead of time. They just go into their destination and monitoring where objects are, but they don't realize, hey, maybe this guy, the way he's driving is going to rear end me. Maybe he doesn't know that you're on your phone, you know? So when it wants to stop, it stops and the car behind crashes into him.
And it's called defensive driving, to where, you know, a self-driving car probably doesn't have that, because one of the things I was always taught was leave yourself an out. Pay attention to what's going on around you, and think of, you know, if that guy does this, where am I going? you know, autonomous car is not going to do that. It's just going to go, huh. And I won't go into it, but another, I'll give you the story. Another day, I had a run-in with a Tesla self-driving through a movie theater parking lot. And I could have easily run over it with my truck. It pissed me off so much. But I can see, because now this thing just stops. Well, the person behind me or next to me, you know, it would be a person's fault. But, you know, a lot of times people don't look in their mirror or they don't see it. And they just put their car in reverse and back up because suddenly this vehicle stopped behind them. And the only reason the Tesla stopped is because I started my truck.
Yeah. Well, hey, I need to get us out of here. We got 2 minutes and I got to play us out. Any final thoughts on any of the topics?
No, it was a good talk, good show. A lot of good topics and a lot of good stuff in the chat today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to thank
everybody being here.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for being in the chat as well. There's people over on Free World. There's people over on, I'm kind of excited about the Facebook. Hopefully they don't, you know, put me in jail again. But anyway, thank you so much, folks. Remember, I always forget to say it, but like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. We are on audio platforms as well. Just go to thenightsofthestorm.com, and at the bottom of this, of every page, you'll see all the audio platforms. So I usually put that up same day or next day as an audio. But all right, so I guess until next time, what is it that I always say? I got it written down here. Keep your armor tight and your sword sharp. Till next time.
Bark.